You're listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. Nearly three decades ago, Evan Meekum became Arizona's governor, and it didn't take long for him to generate national controversy. Meekum rescinded the order of his predecessor, Bruce Babbitt, that declared a holiday honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in Arizona. It took a number of years and conflicting ballot measures, but Arizona eventually became the first state with a voter-approved King Day. One of the leaders in making that a reality is Reverend Warren Stewart, longtime pastor of the First Institutional Baptist Church in Phoenix. He tells the story of the holiday coming to fruition in the new book, Victory Together for Martin Luther King Jr. We started our conversation by talking about Governor Babbitt's visit to First Institutional Baptist.
It was Sunday, May 18th, 1986. Bruce Babbitt came to our 8 o'clock service at that time, and he said, I want to declare this Martin Luther King Jr. holiday from the pulpit of the First Institutional Baptist Church. Art Hamilton was there. He was minority speaker. Many other community leaders were there, and it was history.
So at the time, were you celebrating? Were you thinking, this is good news, but this doesn't mean the end of the story?
Well, it was good news, but Governor Babbitt said something in his presentation. He said, now, I'm doing this, but you're going to have to fight for this. So it's kind of, he knew in the back of his mind that he might have been on shaky ground, and he said, you're going to have to fight for this. We didn't know what kind of fight he meant, but it turned out to be a 6.5-year fight.
Then take us through when Governor Meekum came in, and if it wasn't his first act, it was one of his early acts to rescind that order. Initial reaction by you and the community, how did people feel?
State Attorney General Corbin at the time was Republican, and he said that Governor Babbitt did not have the authority to do it. But, of course, he was the governor. So when Governor Meekum won that election, when nobody thought he would win in November 1986, I guess a news reporter asked him, you know, you said you would rescind the King holiday. Are you going to do it? He said, yes, I am. I'm going to rescind the King holiday. It's not legal, and Martin Luther King Jr. is not at the stature of presidents, Washington and Lincoln. And so we met with him shortly after he won the election in several state leaders from around the state. There were African Americans, clergy. There was a Jewish rabbi leaders there. And we tried to get him to say no, you know, to not rescind. He said, no, I'm going to rescind. He said, you never get, you black people don't need a holiday. You folks need jobs.
Was Meekum a racist?
I called him a racist. I called him a racist. I believe he was.
Okay.
I believe he was.
Do you think that matters in the big picture when we look back at this
story?
Well,
I mean, America is ingrained with systemic racism. And so if he wasn't a racist, he was part of a systemic racist system that discriminated against people of color for centuries, mm-hmm. for decades. So, yeah.
Was this a community that had talked about systemic racism any more than any other community? Was there a feeling that the population wasn't so great, that people weren't giving it as much attention as maybe you thought they should?
Well, even Governor Babbitt, who was considered an ally of people of color, of African Americans, he would throw up in our face when we would meet with him, African American leaders, you know you all are only 3%. Mm. And he would just, and he was an ally. So if as an ally he brought up, you're only 3%, you know, and when we try to get him to do things on public education, economic development. So that was around, but see, the whole genesis of the King holiday is that Martin Luther King helped America live out its constitution, mm-hmm. its founding fathers' dream in some respects for liberty and justice for all. And so we had to move people to understand this is not a black holiday. This is an American holiday.
Do you see people viewing Martin Luther King Jr. in a different way now than they did 30 years ago? And I mean even just the average middle-class white person.
Well, certainly, because when we started, polls were taken, and 70% of Arizonans did not support the King holiday. Mm-hmm. So from that 6.5-year period from when it was declared in the pulpit of the First Assembly Baptist Church, when we finally won on November 3rd, 1992, we had to move people 100%, or we moved them 100% in the opposite direction. By the time it won by 66%, which was 2-1. Mm-hmm. But But the key was to educate people that Martin Luther King helped America to be the real America it intended, its founders intended it to be, liberty and justice for all. And we were successful, thank God, and moved people.
Considering what people were saying to you about, well, this is a black holiday or this is a brown holiday, why did you think it was important to fight in that bigger sense and not just say, I'm going to say my piece? And why did you feel the need to be a leader on this?
Because I felt that Dr. King's legacy and ministry and contribution had been insulted. Insulted, perhaps, not out of meanness, but ignorance. And so I saw this as an assignment to elevate people's understanding and perception of the significance of Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights movement. So for me, it was a mission.
What really turned the tide after five and a half, 6 years?
Money. The boycotts, the Super Bowl, the conventions and events, concerts that canceled here. First one, Stevie Wonder down in Tucson, January of 1987, and it steamrolled, snowballed. But the ultimate one was in the 1989-ish, when we were trying to get the Super Bowl here in 1993. And my dear good friend now, Bill Shover, was the chair of the Super Bowl committee, and he responded and said, Reverend, I would like us to talk. It was money that got the powers that be on board to push this. And, of course, it didn't happen all of a sudden, because it was passed twice in legislature, overturned by referendum, put on the ballot in 1990, two different ones, defeated. But finally in 92, it was overwhelmingly.
When we think about money sort of turning the tide on things, does motive matter or does the outcome matter?
I had a challenge working with the Phoenix 40 when we finally did work together and the business community, because I always questioned, do they really want this for the right reason, or do they want this because this is the only way Arizona can join that elite club of cities in the nation that host the Super Bowl? And to be very frank, I think the majority worked with us for the Super Bowl, but there were converts along the way.
How important is a boycott as an element of these things for people to really see the light?
Well, as a disciple of both Jesus Christ and Martin Luther King Jr., I studied the way Martin King led the civil rights movement. And there were progressive steps. You speak with the powers that be. Once you identify there's a racial issue, you try to get them to come on board. If that doesn't work, then you lobby them. You build your support base. If that doesn't work, then you have public demonstrations. When that doesn't work, and on down, and about the fifth step is an economic boycott. And if they don't do the first four steps, then you move to the boycott. And after the boycott is civil disobedience. And we were almost at the point of about to be arrested for the King holiday, but that's when the business community got involved and they came on board. But we were planning civil disobedience because we didn't think that the boycott was working, but it began to work as it mounted up. Yeah.
The name of the book is Victory Together. The author is Reverend Warren Stewart of First Institutional Baptist Church in Phoenix. Always a pleasure to have you here. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. God bless you.